the Earth, our hub and our matrix. So this module's all about getting more familiar with the framework and the structure of cycles. And like I noticed in the previous lesson, while cycles may appear to be all about the endless turning of the four seasons, crucial to that turning is the steady Earth hub in the centre. This stabilizing aspect of cycles, it's always there, but actually in exploring them, I find that it's often just implicit. And for me, that leaves a big hole in our understanding and our capacity to feel into the mechanics and the component parts of cycles. Because there's so much richness and benefit from making this earthy aspect explicit. And then, just like with the other seasons, getting more intimate with what it's about and what it brings to the table. So its particular qualities, its powers, its challenges, and its import for our health, our well-being, and our evolution. So the Chinese definitely recognize this. That's why, you know, they have five elements, not four. They recognize that there was this sort of holding something in the center of the turning of cycles. And we'll get more deeply into that aspect of the elements in part two, but for now I just want to, you know, tune in to this invisible season right here from the very start of the program. Actually, I want to drop into the foundational awareness of this season, if you like, before any of the others. And before going further, just to say that when I'm talking about Earth, for me, I'm referring to various interconnected meanings that I will certainly use interchangeably through the program. And these include, as I've said, in any cycle, this central hub, this place that holds the center for the four seasons to turn around. I'm also referring to the crossover period between one season, one of the other four seasons, and the next one that is sort of held by this earthy aspect. I'm thinking about Mother Earth, the planet we live on, and the soil and the life beneath our feet, this matrix that nourishes and connects and holds. And I'm also talking about the energetic quality that centers, that holds, that supports, that stabilizes and connects and governs those transitional places. And I'll be inviting us to feel into that in our practice. Of course, this is all ultimately the same thing held in the Chinese perspective by this element of Earth. So here in this lesson, what I want to do is consider some of the ways that we might feel into this Earth aspect within us. This is really important for getting a really embodied practice, which is why, again, I'm wanting to put this in here right at the start. So we're going to consider our pelvis and pelvic floor, these earthy depths and support, our midline, so the true core running through our body, our relationship with ground, gravity and space, and our connective tissues, or particularly our fascia, which again connects and supports everything. So I will consider each separately. A couple of them are going to be reasonably long. So in the written part of the lesson, I will put some time markers there so you can jump to any one of these if you want to go straight there. So I'm just going to start saying a very brief something about the pelvis and the pelvic floor, because I'm actually going to put that in a separate lesson, and I'll be able to get out my model of a pelvis then, and we can look together, which I think will be really helpful. But I just wanted to say, you know, include that in this lesson as saying, you know, yeah, this is very much part of this earthy place within us, this place of support and connection, this place that our two legs and our spine grow out of, emerge out of. Everything emerges and returns to the pelvis. Our pelvis is like a basin or a cradle, if you can think of, at the bottom of your torso, holding the weight of all of your organs above. And of course, it's also the home for our womb space, this earthy place of creativity, of fertility, of nourishment, of holding in the female body. So yeah, that's really all I have to say right now on the pelvis. As I say, yeah, look elsewhere in this module for the lesson specifically about the pelvis and pelvic floor in the practice sessions. So our midline. our midline. In yoga, of course, this is the place where our seven chakras, our energy wheels, are aligned along. And in Qigong terms, we think a lot about our central energetic channel, particularly so in women's work, because it's also known as the Sea of Blood. And this is regarded as the energetic channel that the moon, as the moon waxes and wanes, that it influences within our female bodies, pulling, well, in all body, in all human bodies, pulling energy up and down. But it has a specific effect on menstrual cycles in women. I will come back and talk about that in when we get onto the module on the moon. So, this channel, so really important in our internal arts, generally for these energetic reasons. It's also a place where we want a key awareness for what I'm going to talk about in a minute about our relationship with ground, gravity, and space, feeling this movement of this line through us, through being aligned with gravity and off and turning or not turning. So we always want to keep an awareness of our midline in that sense, a centering midline. And I think an area that maybe lots of women can relate to is our endocrine system. Lots of our hormonal glands, our endocrine glands, are aligned around this midline. So from our head downwards in our brain, we have the hypothalamus, pituitary, pineal glands right in the center of our head. You come down into the throat, so our thyroid and the parathyroid glands at the base, and then a bit more down into our chest, our thymus gland, and of course our heart, an endocrine gland in itself, down further below our diaphragm to the pancreas in the deep center of the body, and then further mid-lower back either side of our spine are two adrenal glands that sit above our kidneys, and then of course right down in our pelvis are the nestled two ovaries. So all of these, like I say, sort of around that midline, and our nervous system as well, running through our spine, the front of our spine, where the spinal cord is, very deep actually inside the body towards the midline, so very, very, very close there. So it really is our true core, our the central axis, which around our three bodies are layered, and these really key systems, our nervous system, our endocrine system, all running through this space. So for all these reasons, it's really important for us to be conscious of our midline in life and in practice, all the way from our perineum in the center of the pelvic floor right to the crown of our head. And for our energetic and into our spiritual development, for just knowing where we are in space, and by knowing where we are in space, sort of where we are in life and in our cycle. For our nervous system and our hormonal balance, and all of us need to be taking care of maintaining or restoring harmony there. And just for having a more centered, focused, grounded, calm, connected feeling of ourselves in the world. In our yoga, I will certainly be making reference to that, inviting movement around that midline, and sometimes perhaps even inviting you to sort of feel into turning on lights, the lights, like your glands around the midline are like lights, visualizing them, turning them on, and noticing how that makes you feel, what change that brings within you. So that's our midline. Now, ground, gravity, and space, something I want to talk on at a bit more length. I already referred to ground, gravity, and space and our relationship with them in our first module in the lesson, Body Exploring Your Earth Connection. So when I'm talking about ground, I'm talking about the earth or any awareness of sensation of contact with something that has some degree of material solidity or firmness to it. So that we could call ground, stability, something that gives us some stability. And then at the other end, space, well, here we're talking, so we've got Earth at one end, heaven, And us humans are, we stand upright between earth and heaven, connect between earth and heaven, and we are sort of worked on by both of them. So heaven, when I talk about space, would be an awareness of the sensation of contact with the air, you know, with space, or with a sense of spaciousness as well within us. But as we reach out to touch things, that feeling of there being nothing there, so we don't have that stability or support that the ground would give us in space. So between those two, and working on us all the time, is gravity. Gravity, this force between space and the ground and the earth. So here we're thinking about an awareness of the sensation of that planetary force. It's attracting everything towards the earth center so that it keeps us anchored to this planet. And in our practice, I will be inviting you to feel into a felt sense of the load that this force puts then down through our body. It's really key to grasp that that force exerts itself through the vertical line, so that any time that we take ourselves off the vertical, we're going to need to engage more muscles to hold ourselves against this force. When we're on the vertical, then maybe it can pass down through, as I'll say more in a minute. So if this off vertical position becomes our everyday habitual posture, that means we're going to be in a constant state of bracing. There's going to be tension in our body. Like, you know, say, for example, you have a posture where your head is dropped forward, a very common posture, the head pushed and dropped forward, and perhaps your spine collapsed, your pelvis tilted, and, or, you know, all of these can be one thing or all together. And perhaps it could be a left-right thing, you know, one having more weight down through one side or the other, or you know, it could be just because there's something causing you to hold that way, or there could be a spinal misalignment calling that. For whatever reason, you know, your body is then going to have to brace against that. And I should say that a collapsed posture, you know, sometimes you see someone and they're sort of collapsed over forward, and it may look a sort of rather relaxed, lazy sort of posture, but it's never a relaxed posture, even if it might look like that. It's at much at odds with gravity as if someone is sort of tensely propped and hiked up. Either way, they're constantly having to fight against gravity pulling down. Otherwise, they would collapse even further. So all of this, whichever position of those two that I suggested, you know, propped up or collapsed down, they're always going to be building tension in the body. And when that happens, that's blocking the free flow of energy. It's blocking the free flow of breath through the body. And because it's creating tightness, gripping in the muscles, that creates a numbness within us to the sensations and the feelings within our body, because it's all, you know, just locked up and rigid and armored. There's no possibility for movement on the inside, no sense of that movement or that life on the inside. So we find ourselves, you know, disconnected from yet another natural force, from gravity, and therefore, you know, having no connection with the earth either, if you can't feel down through gravity. So you're sort of in fighting with gravity rather than letting it support you, a bit like the seasons, you know, you're either with them or you're against them, basically. Same with this other natural force. So altogether, this just creates a loss of sense of wholeness, because all those places locked up inside that one can't even feel into, and a loss of sense of connection to the earth. And whatever we're creating in our body, we're also reflecting that in our mind, or the other way around. But, you know, if they're like this in our body, that is getting created in our mind. So we're going to find ourselves in a place of tense anxiety, a feeling of separation, a feeling of me against the world, and all the fearfulness that will come with that, and then leaving us very sort of identified with the superficial levels of mind and its non-stop thoughts. And it's very, very hard in that kind of state to open up into any bigger sense of spaciousness. So it has lots of consequences, as you can see, you know, just not managing to find a harmonious relationship with gravity. So if we're taking ourselves off the vertical, off that line in our yoga postures, I'll come back to that in a minute. First of all, I want to talk about that, you know, if we can find in daily life, generally, anytime, that vertical sweet spot, which is a dynamic place that we find from the inside out, when we find that, this transforms gravity from a force against which you have to brace yourself into a force that buoys you up. So when we're on the vertical line, we are in line with the directional flow of the gravitational field or force. So we can then surrender to it or yield to it, as the language that I've been using. We can yield to that force of gravity, letting our muscles relax off the bones, letting the tension relieve. But we won't collapse because we are aligned down through our center. So gravity can sink down through that vertical line. And when we can do that, we can establish our yield relationship with the earth, and we connect with the feeling of the rebound, that rebound that is the opposite of the of gravity. It's the normal force, so-called in physics, that the earth exerts upwards to prevent us from sinking completely into her or just being permanently stuck to her. And that is what creates that sense of levity or buoyancy within us, a feeling of upward expansiveness. And this doesn't come from mechanically aligning ourselves. Then, you know, you end up being not relaxed and rigid, that tensed, propped upwards and not finding an earth connection. But if we can do it as, you know, as we're working on in this program, if we can find that verticality in ourselves from within, then we can release the tension, and then we can find that sense of expansive rebound and also wake up to the deep, subtle, constantly moving, constantly shifting and changing felt sensations of our inner world, of our soma. And this brings us to new levels of awareness with ourselves. You know, we could start to be able to feel into ourselves in this unified, connected way, and start to be able to feel in not only, you know, in within ourselves, that oneness, but that oneness that goes beyond ourselves, connecting us to the rest of reality. And once again, when we feel it within our body, we start to feel that within our mind as well. We start to be able to live from that place of spaciousness, of ease, of leaning back into these forces bigger than ourselves. So I said I would come back to staying about, you know, when we intentionally maybe take ourselves off the vertical in yoga, where we can play with this relationship with gravity. But I'd say, you know, first of all, it's important to tune into finding that place I've just described, that dynamic vertical coming home place, and the possibility of yielding to gravity and connecting through and finding that buoyant connection. Because otherwise, when we take ourselves off center, again, we're going to be holding ourselves in a very mechanical, tense, propping, pushing against a push instead of pushing from a yield kind of place. This very common place that we see in yoga, push-push, which just creates rigidity and a loss of that sense of internal movement and internal life. But if we manage, first of all, to find yield and go, oh yeah, I can find that now, and yes, I can find my inner world, then when we move off vertical into our yoga shapes and start exploring our relationship with ground and gravity and space, all three of them, then we can notice what's extending, what's compressing, what's engaging, what's relaxing, using all this proprioceptive information to tell us about our orientation, to tell us about the shape we're in, which is what all those senses are there for. And we do this while at the same time maintaining a sense of our yielding groundedness and our yielding connection with its constant dynamic movement moving through us, rather than any bracing. So then, you know, yeah, it becomes this exploration. Ah, yes, I'm still connected and I lean that way. What happens? What engages? What doesn't? And how can I use that to tell, not using my eyes, you know, but these other senses to tell me my shape and where I am in space? I hope that makes some sense. I'm describing it doesn't necessarily, but we will, of course, be feeling into it as well. But I just wanted to sort of go through the theory of it as well. And I should say, if we're going to hold a posture for a long time in our yoga, so for example, when we are finding a place to sit and breathe, or eventually, you know, moving stillness practices and meditation, then aligning ourselves in the vertical posture is important. We want then to be definitely aligned with the directional force of gravity in a neutral place, not putting any of these other inputs that we might intentionally within our moving practice put in. We want there to be centered, allowing for the sense of ease, for connection, for grounded spaciousness that supports the opening up, supports the meditative process. So, through the program, I'm going to be inviting you to tune into this relationship with ground, gravity, and space. And sometimes I'll do that in a more focused way, and sometimes, you know, that will just be there. And this is going to help you build this more accurate felt awareness of where you are in space. So asking yourself, how does this feel to me physically? And of course, then it also helps you to tune into how you are and where you are within a cycle. Because you can feel into those things, not just physically, but how do I respond to moving myself to a certain place emotionally and mentally too? You know, sometimes when we're in a certain position, we might notice or ask ourselves whether we are desiring ground or gravity or space. You know, what's feeling good to me? What am I averse to? What feels wrong to me? Am I, for instance, craving right now stability? So that would be within our yoga. I want to feel there's something firm that I can connect to, the ground. Between, you know, ground and space, I want ground. I want that stable connection. Or does that generally to you, or in this moment to you, feel restrictive? So what is stability for one person could be restriction for another, or for us in different moments. Same with spaciousness. Do I want to feel that my arm or my leg can reach into the air and not be touching to anything? Do I want that space, that heaven contact? Or does that create in me a feeling of insecurity? So again, what could be spaciousness for one person could feel like insecurity for another, or for you. You know, at one point in the cycle, you might find these things switching around. So that is how, you know, it helps you locate yourself within the cyclical turning as these desires and aversions for stability or space switch. Okay. So the last thing I'm going to talk on here is connective tissue. So I've got, again, quite a bit to say here. Particularly about fascia. So when I talked just now on ground, gravity, and space, I was saying about, you know, waking up the sensations of our inner world. So our fascial connective tissue is the key aspect of what we're tapping into there. We're feeling into the connecting, stabilizing, supportive aspect of earthiness within us. And it's actually only when we're absorbed into this matrix within us that we're able to feel into and then be in relationship with the earth below us, with Mother Earth, and thereby with our ground, gravity, and space. Now, it might seem surprising that we could possibly lose touch with the tissues of our own body, or lose touch with a sense of the earth below us, or that these two connections depend on each other. And of course, the clue is that we are the earth, just like we are nature. But in my experience, it's in this disjointed state that most people live their lives. It's actually the norm, as I made reference to in module one when I talked about the somatophobic tendencies of our culture. And given that our capacity to breathe and modulate the nervous system utterly depends on our capacity to find earth connection within us and without, it's not surprising that so many people live in this state of nervous system collapse or in a hyperventilating state of nervous system overload. And it's also, you know, given that our stories of our lives and who we are in this moment are written into the fabric of our tissues, and our capacity for evolution is dependent on bringing change at this level, it's also really not surprising that so many people in the world seem to feel powerless to take responsibility for their own well-being. And yeah, sadly, it's not surprising either that so many people find it really, really easy to trash Mother Earth when they're unable to connect to any embodied sense of their natural intimate relationship or even oneness with her. When we kind of recognize at a new felt level within us that what we do to ourselves, we do to the earth, and what we do to the earth, we do to ourselves, perhaps that will then finally change. And I say all this to just emphasize why finding a way to connect with our connective tissue within us isn't just, it's a really pleasant thing to do, but not only, it's really vital for our individual and planetary well-being and for our futures. So what is connective tissue? Well, it's sort of what it says. We're not empty on the inside. All of the spaces within us are filled with this network of tissue. Or more accurately, actually, these tissues developed as a unified whole from the very earliest days of our being. And then it's from this undifferentiated stuff that all of our bones and muscles and tendons and other specific structures grew out of into something more differentiated. And then it's into this matrix that the impact of the experience of our lives gets stored and get written. So in the broadest sense, our connective tissue includes all of our bones and our blood and our cartilage. But here I want to talk particularly about our fascia, which is what you might think of as sort of connective tissue proper. So fascia establishes a soft container for all the other structures of our body. So it both differentiates and it integrates all of the other tissues, and it provides them with semi-viscous lubricated surfaces. And thereby it forms a single web that connects us from top to toe, from birth to death. All of this has been recognized in the internal arch, the Eastern internal arch, for centuries. And the awareness is still very much there in Qigong. And this is where I really first tapped into it. And this network for Qigong is absolutely fundamental for conducting qi or energy through our body. But in my personal experience anyway, I feel it's been lost a lot in yoga teaching and practice. Although, you know, that's hopefully starting to change. But a lot of yoga nowadays I see is often much more founded in outdated Western biomechanical principles. In the words of Tom Myers, who's the godfather of modern Western understanding of fascial connections through the body, from the moment of its, that's the fascia's, inception as a loose jelly-like net, it has been folded and refolded in the complex origami of embryological development into a human who can stand, eat, and read on his or her own. And the names we give our parts are just man-made names for subsets of the fascial net, artificial delineations within your indivisible whole. So there he sort of refers to the crucial fact that fascia is able to modify its component elements. And these are mainly collagen interwoven with other fibers like elastin, reticulin, and that's all in a bed of gluey mucopolysaccharides. So it's able, with all of this, to remodel itself to meet any locally changing conditions. So it can become more or less dense, it can get more or less solid, and it continues to do this throughout our lives for better or worse. The largest physical force that shapes this network is, guess what? It's gravity. depending on our particular tendencies, postural, and the patterns, you know, of moving, of how we move and hold ourselves. But of course, it's also shaped by our psychological attitudes and reactions to our life experience, because of all of our different layers are constantly influencing each other. I'm going to say a word on fascial tensegrity. So, thanks to this communicating fascial network that is holding, supporting, connecting us into one strong, stretchy, resilient, responsive unit, human structures or any animal structure turns out not to be just that series of pulleys and levers, as was understood by old models of human stability and mobility, but we are rather these so-called tensegrity structures, which is a coming together of the two words tension and integrity. So where the integrity of the structure depends on the balance of tensional forces. And these structures are much more resilient and adaptive than any pulley system. Within these structures, within our structure, within our human form, you could think of your bones like struts that float in isolation in a sea of soft, elastic tissue tension. There I'm using the sort of physics meaning of tension. And within that form, when one part moves, everything moves. One part is compressed or something is stretched, the whole structure responds. And this enables the form to hold its shape and its structural integrity, even when it changes orientation. So even if you were to go upside down, you know, you don't fall apart, but a crane would fall apart if you turned it upside down, okay? And these kind of structures, these tensegrity structures also are designed to distribute strain evenly through the whole structure. So they don't focus strain locally in one area. Instead, any strain results in small amounts of deformation that's passed throughout the structure to try to prevent that large amount locally. So in that way, it tries to limit damage as best it can up to, of course, a breaking point. And I should say that, of course, a human body isn't a perfect tensegrity structure in the physical sense, physics sense, but it's a living system. So, you know, our structure will do its best to spread any strain up to its breaking point of, you know, that certain area will, of course, maybe take more. And there's a flip side too to this spreading of strain. What it means is that, you know, when a part is injured or damaged or gets stuck, the whole is affected. So when you've got chronic conditions, the area of pain may be a knock-on effect or a compensation for the original issue. So it's really important to access and work with the whole body rather than just go and sort of try and put right that one thing, which could have been the compensation, whereas the source is somewhere else. So all of this is the basis in Western terms of integrated body movement, so anything from somatics and qigong and yoga, and for body work therapies like Rolfing or Tom Meyer's own Anatomy Trains. And if you're ever looking for a body therapist, body work therapist, I highly recommend those kinds of ways of working for the reasons I've said, that, you know, they will look at everything as a whole and recognize that strain in one part is influencing there. So, you know, you don't just go directly to the place that is shouting. So, you know, these bodies of ours in this way, I think, you know, sound pretty amazing, which of course they are. But here's the rub. This connective tissue of ours needs movement that's both regular and varied to maintain its hydrated, strong, elastic quality, to maintain that adaptive tensegrity structure. And without that, it modifies. Remember I said that fascial tissue modifies, and it modifies. And without that kind of varied movement, it solidifies into rigid shapes that start to reflect our habitual physical postures. And the emotional posture, of course, that's fed from the other levels of our being. But us humans with our great big brains have in our lives, in the world, come up with ever more gadgets to make our life easier and more comfortable. All of our cars and our escalators and our computers and our remote controls and so on and so on and so on. So that we've effectively designed movement out of our daily life and come to be very sedentary. Our sedentary lifestyles and this loss of movement, you know, it's that that's integral to a human life. And of course, I'm not talking about everybody, but in terms of what we need to do, you know, we don't need to stretch and twist and jump and crouch and sidebend and rotate and compress and expand to fulfill our everyday life needs. Most movement that is generally linear, backwards and forwards in an extension, flexion, sagittal plane. So there's been a really big lost capacity for natural spiraling. Of course, they're cycles, you know, spiralings take us in cycles, but that kind of spiraling movement that would help to maintain the coherence and integrity of our tensegrity structure is not very much there in the general movement of everyday life of a human being. If you look, on the other hand, at wild animals, their survival requires them to be at one with their bodily senses, to move in regular and really varied ways throughout the day. So they have to be connected with their whole adaptive self, not to mention to the environment around them, and to know instinctively how to be comfortable in and how to move in those lithe bodies of theirs. You know, when you look at them, you can see the tensegrity in their ease and efficiency and grace of their movement. We, on the other hand, as humans, have turned ourselves into a very much domesticated species, and you rarely in a human see that lithe connectedness. What you more often see is sort of limbs that appear to be disjointed from static torsos and that move in very linear, very mechanical, joint-wearing and leverage-based ways. So with this lack of a need to move, even when we do decide to exercise, we build it in artificial periods. And then what tends to happen is we move these already posturally constrained bodies in ways that seem to favor particular sets of repeated movements. So we continue to do movement in this sort of mechanical, muscle-focused, rope and pulley way, sagittal plane way that stimulates the body tissues in very limited ways and very limited directions. And so thereby it's just continuing to reinforce the same disconnected patterns. So surprise, surprise, we have lost that natural capacity for graceful, efficient, easefully strong movement. And when I talk about easefully strong, I'm meaning movement or strength that where the whole body is supporting the rest rather than that strained focus on one place. And when we find that in our yoga, it really, really transforms our movement, or in any movement, that really, really transforms. And we also want to find movement that's self-hydrating, health-promoting. But, you know, nowadays we actually need to educate that because it's just not there in our natural ways of movement. So I hope in this program to help you to refind this felt sense of your own inner earthiness and an interactive, yielding connection with your relationship with Mother Earth and thereby with ground and gravity and space, and to move in ways that are exploratory, that are playful, that include spiraling, and they don't require you to sort of force, or certainly don't require you to force your body to do anything, but not to be coming into the same shape each time repetitively. And of course, I would also encourage you to build into your life as much as possible varied movement. So, I mean, that could just be with the basics, you know, walking, but also taking the bike or taking the stairs. You know, do it differently. Don't always keep to the same habit. of what you do, but also finding ways to play and to roll and to climb and to stretch and to spiral and to swing, whatever it may be, just taking movements that have no particular form. So, yeah, that is most definitely my invitation. I look forward very much to exploring that with you in practice. That is it for this lesson, and I will see you in the next one.